It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Welcome, Alex.
Hey, Johnny, how's it going?
Good, good. I will just pull this down. I'm just stepping into the driving seat and adjusting the volume of everything on this side of the desk.
So bye, Mikey.
I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good to go. So Mikey had to leave.
He's had to run off.
To flee us. So as the listeners may hear from my voice this week, I've been stricken down by the flu. Just ruined.
But one of the perks of getting the flu in the modern era is the amount of television that is available to watch online.
It's like one of two benefits, I reckon. I reckon the first benefit is getting to experience all of the things new that you take for granted in your regular life, like walking and drinking coffee. And you get to like do those things again, like a child when you come out of the other side of it. And the other thing is watching heaps of TV.
Yes.
Yeah. Although I have had a strain of flu once where it was like too bad to even watch TV. You just have to like
lie there
and stare at the ceiling, mm-hmm. which is the pits. But this one was not that bad and I totally had the chance to do some binging. So what I did was some full noise, pulp, like nothing cerebral style binging. And I watched season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead on Neon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Johnny?
What's the difference between The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead? Are they both on Neon?
Great question. I'm really glad you asked. The Walking Dead is on Neon. Fear of the Walking Dead is also on Neon. I believe, I can't entirely say for sure off the top of my head which seasons they have of The Walking Dead, but I know season 6 is coming, if it's not already there.
What's the difference between the
both? Oh, yeah. Again? To answer your question. So the difference is, The Walking Dead is like the OG originator, mm-hmm. and Fear the Walking Dead is the spin-off by Robert Kirkman and Greg Nicotero, started as one of the directors of The Walking Dead, the original, the kind of zombie genesis of everything. And then these two guys started the spin-off show, and it has pretty much zero connection to the original other than it's in the same world. Like, The Walking Dead originally began as a series of graphic novels, which Robert Kirkman also had a hand in writing. And so he's now kind of the mastermind of this universe, I guess, the expanded universe, the zombie expanded universe. The Walking Dead has, I think it's now in its seventh season. It's had a bit of a tumultuous time recently. And it is also insanely popular. Fear the Walking Dead, I don't think, has hit quite the heights that The Walking Dead has, but I mean, just like a base level of viewership, I think, is probably enough to sustain it, because people just love zombies.
So popular.
Man.
So is it set in like a classic post-apocalyptic world where there's zombies and everyone's struggling to deal with that?
Pretty much.
Is there anything that sets this apart from needing a shotgun to get by and blow some zombies' heads off?
The one thing I feel like is different in this to these zombies than other zombies is that these zombies decay. Something that was kind of fascinating about watching The Walking Dead over 6 or 7 seasons is that the zombies were becoming more and more disgusting and more like there was just more viscera, more things falling off them. And you could see the makeup artists obviously having so much fun with the eyeballs dripping out of the sockets and things like that. And I was always worried that they were going to walk themselves into a corner with this, right? Where they would be like, actually, they're just like these
skeletons.
Or just these shambling masses of plasma, just kind of, you know, moaning. But I guess the spin-off kind of helps with that. And also, you know, they just seem to have plateaued a little bit. I mean, because it's a graphic novel and because it existed as an intellectual property for quite a long time before it became a TV show, it doesn't pride itself on setting itself apart from the kind of zombie canon. You know, it is actually the zombie canon itself, in like a pretty big way. So The Walking Dead takes place in Atlanta, Georgia. Weirdly.
Great.
I know, right? The Fear the Walking Dead takes place in LA, and it's essentially like the same chronology, the same scenario. Takes place in Los Angeles and now Mexico in season 3, which is actually quite awesome. A lot of it, like there are some episodes pretty much entirely in Spanish, which is great. And I got to say that season three is bonkers. Like, it reps, man. It's just, it does not give a damn about, like, any kind of narrative structure. It's just, like, it's the doors are blown wide open and everybody is having such a good time.
I can imagine if you're in a zombie town, essentially, it's going to be pretty hard to keep some sort of story that makes sense happening. And, you know, if it was a real situation.
Totally.
The story is going to be bizarre.
Totally. I feel like, at its worst, I think the zombie genre exists now for, like, the kind of solely for the purposes of cool wide shots of environments with corpses shambling around them, you know, and like this sort of true George Romero homage. And I sort of feel like the main issue with zombie shows, kind of like what we were talking about with the degradation of corpses, is that once you've shown several seasons worth of people dispatching zombies pretty handily, it becomes pretty difficult to have them as a threat constantly, you know, or frightening or interesting. And so what I kind of feel like has happened now is that, and also due to like the insane popularity of the genre, it's just become the home of television's what the F kind of zone, where you're just like, it's like a frontier land where characters can do the most bizarre things in a world that has absolutely no boundaries or laws. And the writers of these shows are kind of liberated from those laws of the regular world as well. And it almost seems like a bit of a competition between the writers to see who can like navigate their characters into the most like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, that's what's happening. People who are fans of The Walking Dead will probably understand what I mean. And like, I'm continually, I don't know, I went to see It, right? And It had an R18 rating. And I kind of found myself watching that thinking, why does this have an R18 rating? Like, it's pretty, like, it's gruesome, but it's not like, it's not insane. And yet the things that are happening on this show are like, you're like, this could maybe be R18. Like,
yes.
But perhaps there's like a level of cartoonishness that means that it isn't censored in the same way, you know, because it is so absurd, it is so ridiculous. So what I did was I compiled a little list of the three most WTF moments from Fear the Walking Dead season 3. Okay, number one, a distraught and suicidal old man is looking for penitence for abandoning his daughter in a burning building. He's a really bad guy. Doesn't think much of himself. It's nighttime. It's a thunderstorm. He's kind of on a murderous rampage in a water culvert. He's kind of like hooning around, dispatching zombies, just in a kind of like crazy old man on the mountain sort of rage. He kind of like bashes a couple of them to the ground and then meets a bit of a boss guy zombie, real badass dude who punches him.
A boss zombie.
A boss zombie. It really feels like that. They like shoot him from below. He's like this really like, yeah. Watch the episode, you'll understand. Zombie punches him in the head. The old man falls to the ground and then climbs back up to his knees and starts praying to God to save him. And just before the zombie goes to chew his face off, the zombie is struck by lightning and explodes.
Yes.
I know.
That's
so
awesome.
Just jaw drop.
Okay.
Okay, number two. I'm sorry if anybody's eating breakfast over this, by the way. Another old man, different to the first old man, he wakes up one night to see his wife standing on the other side of the room. She's facing into the corner. You can see where this is going, right? He says her name. She turns around and, whoa, surprise, she's a zombie. He isn't a core cast member, by the way. This is just, you know, I don't know, incidental people. Instead of running away in fear from his now wife zombie, and these are like old people, by the way, he hugs her and she starts to bite his neck. But a quick cutaway to their dresser reveals that she doesn't have her dentures in. So she's biting his neck with her like gummy gums and it can't get through his skin. Which kind of leads me to like a point about like, because the bite is what passes on the zombiness, right? But I'm like, if you have dentures, that's not really a part of you. Like, does that pass on the zombie? I'm not entirely sure of the science of that. Anyway, so he kind of like he's like hugs her even tighter and then holds a gun up to his head, angling it so that it becomes obvious that he's going to blow both of their brains out and then pulls the trigger. It's not a spoiler. That was before the title sequence of like episode 5 or something. Really intense.
And that is intense.
Yeah.
Great writing.
Okay, but this is perhaps not the most WZF, but just a scene that I thought was so awesome in episode 1, in which New Zealand's own Cliff Curtis, who is the star of the show, is being held hostage in a paramilitary base in which some people are running experiments around the time it takes to turn somebody into a zombie, like from death to reanimation. Mm-hmm. And there's the kind of like dudes in fatigues who are sort of killing people and then bringing them back, and like timing how long it takes to bring them back to life. So I thought I'd play a little scene between Cliff and this guy. Hopefully it's quite quiet, so I'm hoping that it flies, but if not, I can paraphrase. Okay, here we go.
Have you given it full volume on your end?
I'll boost it. Then they're not quiet. It's like the guy's walking up.
Here's Travis.
Cliff Curtis stands. This is good. It's like for dead people.
Are you Mexican?
No.
Persian?
No. Maori.
Oh. Polynesian. Some warrior stock. Did you have contact back home before comms failed?
No.
Shame. New Zealand's isolated. I just thought, maybe your people, maybe they dodged all this. Maybe they turned different or not at all. Could learn something. You may still.
Where's my mom and my sister?
Anyway, that's pretty much it. Later on, they pay off that exchange by Cliff Curtis diving in to protect his stepson, who was the one you were talking at the end, who was about to be shot. And he says, "Hey, you've never killed one of my kind, have you? My people, we're different. We don't turn." And the guy, who's a different guy, asks him what kind of Mexican he is. And Cliff Curtis says again that he's a Maori. And he says, "You get to kill yourself, your first Maori." To which the guy responds, "Hey, the world is exceptional, don't you think?" And it's just like, what the hell? Leaving aside how awesome it is that the writers kind of thought that maybe like the Maori is so great that they wouldn't turn into zombies, to like, despite, you know, the entire world being like this. The kind of, like, Cliff Curtis has played so many different ethnicities in his time in Hollywood, and it's just so awesome that he gets to play a Maori
himself.
In the like lead of the show. And those are the three most WTF moments of the Walking Dead season 3.
Awesome. And so people can find it on Neon, which is great.
They sure can. They can find it on Neon. It's streaming. Excuse me. It's streaming the same day as in the US. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of day and date coming out.
Yep.
Currently, they do this sort of weird split structure where the first half of season 3 screen in the beginning of the year, and now the second half is screening weekly in the US. And it's coming to us on Neon.
Cool. And a little teaser of maybe next week, Mikey is a fan of Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
I know we talked about it last week, but we're definitely going to do it next week.
We're going to dive in. We're going to dive in and drill down. I'm trying to get a special guest as well.
Yeah, everyone I've bumped into said that it's amazing, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you got to do it. I reckon do at least the first 2 episodes before next week, and you'll be well primed. And I believe we're going to go out on a Charles Bradley song as a little tease for that, which is he features heavily in the soundtrack of Big Little Lies, which is an exceptional soundtrack. And Charles Bradley passed away just a few days ago, so RIP Charles Bradley. May you live on in our HBO dreams forever.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.